All right, hello, and welcome to the second episode of Movie Boobs. I am your host, Rob Laird. I'm joined by my co-host, Paul Schmidt, and today we are joined by a third boob, Steve Susie. How's it going, fellas?
Not too bad.
Good here, All right. Good here.
We've got a special episode today because we're trying to just get as many episodes recorded as we can so that we can start to maybe improve our visibility on the website here. So the episode today is going to be kind of a unique one. We're going to discuss our movie league that the three of us are in, that we are the three sort of original members of. It's been going on since 2008. It is not unlike any other sort of fantasy movie league that you might see available on the internet now. I think the most popular one, or the one that's most in vogue right now, is organized by ESPN's Matthew Berry. It's called FantasyMovieLeague.com. It's an interesting concept. Ours is a little different. We go year-round. The season lasts the entire year. And instead of sort of picking movies a la carte and filling your studio that way, which is how most of these leagues do it, we treat it like more like a fantasy baseball or fantasy football league, where we call out movies, we bid on them auction style, and the money these movies make in the studios or in the box office is the money that goes to your studio. And over the course of the year, you will draft the movies and accumulate as many as you can. And at the end of the year, you get bonuses if your movies get nominated or win Oscars. It's kind of difficult to do all year round, so we have three different drafts. And just on Sunday, our league finished the first of the three drafts, which is for the movies coming out in January, February, March, and April. And we just completed that, and so we are done drafting then until April, when we will then draft the next pocket of movies. But fellas, if you could just real quick, anything interesting to you that jumped out in the first draft of the 2016 Fantasy Movie League season? Seuss, you bought the big one, Batman vs. Superman, for $106, which is slightly more than a third of your yearly budget. Do you think you got a good deal on that?
I don't know if I would classify it as a good deal. I'd classify it as an adequate deal. I'm a little bit more bullish on it than I think both of you two are. My concern primarily with what I did the other night, I guess, concern isn't the right word. I guess a little window into my strategy is that I think the additional number of players added to this league is going to cause a little bit of a ripple effect later on in the year. So my attempt was to try to make a play on things that I felt could at the very least meet my expectation for them and deliver on the number that I hoped for, and maybe try to avoid the late season feeding frenzy that always comes in the last draft where people have held a lot of money. And to be honest with you, there are not enough horses to go around in the barn. So I think that's only going to get worse this year with more players in the league. And basically the same number of horses, but just not enough, available commodities in that last draft.
Go ahead, Paul.
I sort of felt basically the same way, except I would even go a step further to say that I actually dislike the movies more as the year goes on. I think that at least right now, a lot of the bigger budget movies that could make money are actually being released now and in the summer, as opposed to the summer and the and the fall, it looks like, based on this year anyway.
Yeah, maybe they're all clearing out for Star Wars again. I don't know. But I usually have about 10 or 11 people in the league, and it takes around $1.3 billion, $1.4 billion for your studio to win or finish second place. This year we've got 13 people in the league, and that means that it takes less money to win the league. Probably about $1.2 billion would put you in the running. But it increases the demand, and prices tend to tick upwards. And I like to put a dollar value based on every movie. And based on that, and I use HSX as my guideline for how much I think movies are going to make. They're usually pretty close. Based on that, the best deal of the draft I had being Batman versus Superman, getting about $15 worth of plus value, which was by far and away the best value of the draft, if you believe that their HSX number, which is, I think, 360, which means they projected to make about $400 million. So if you believe that number, Seuss got a really good deal. Seuss, you also bought Kung Fu Panda, so you really came away from this draft with by far and away the most projected money moving forward. It does mean you'll have less money than everybody else, though, in terms of your yearly budget of 300. You're only going to have about 140 left for the final two drafts. I know you like to have a lot of money left for the last draft for the Oscar season. It's unusual for you to be in this position with not having as much money as everybody else after the first draft.
Well, I mean, I just felt like after last winter's draft, it was a little bit frustrating to me because everybody has slowly escalated to where I started, which,
right.
I mean, from day one, I was chasing Oscar movies and the bonuses that they provide. And I did that with great success early on because there weren't a lot of people that were following along with me. Now there's more, and there's more competition for those Oscar bonuses. I still think I did really well in the past winner's draft, but I got lucky. A couple of things fell back to me that I didn't really think would. It didn't work out the way that I thought it would, but I was still able to net those movies. I don't think I'm going to be able to do that this year, and it's not necessarily because I don't think that I can ferret out which movies they are, because I have a long history of being able to do that. It's just that I think there's just going to be more competition, and no matter how much money I were to keep held back, I'd still be fighting for those types of movies at rates that are not tenable for an entire draft packet. So I just felt like I had to flip the script a little bit, try something else. It may not work, but my old way of doing things, I think, clearly demonstrated that I needed to change a little bit in order to give myself a better opportunity to win.
Yeah, and to give people some context here, anybody that might be listening, our Oscar bonuses, we give $150 million if your picture wins best, or if your movie wins best picture, $30 million if it gets nominated. You get $75 for the wins of director, actor, and actress, $15 for nominations in those categories, $50 for the wins in the supporting categories, and $10 for noms, and then $25 for win and $5 a nomination in the screenplay categories and animated feature. It ends up being about a billion total in possible Oscar bonuses. We get around $11 billion in box office totals. So the bonuses end up being around 9 to 10% extra money there, and it ends up being a pretty good. You can find some deals there. But you don't have a lot of money in the final draft, then you're probably not going to get those movies. Paul, I did want to talk to you real quick, though, about your two movies that you bought, the big ones anyway. You bought 12 movies in this draft.
Yep.
The two big ones were Deadpool and Zootopia, which are, I think, high-risk, high-reward situations. Was that your strategy, too? Was that your kind of feeling there, was you've got the possibility for high ceilings in these two movies?
Yeah, it's 100% what I was trying to do. I was actually willing to go quite a bit higher on Deadpool. I had mentioned to my wife, I was actually buying that as I was walking home from work, so that was fun. And by the time I got home, I told my wife, I was like, man, I'd have bid another $30 on that. I mean, I was genuinely surprised at the value I got that at. Zootopia, I was a little less willing to gamble on. I think Zootopia is going to be very good. I'm not sure what that means for everything. And I think it's going to do very well. It comes out at the right time for being a kids movie kicking around. It's going to be the first kids movie that comes out in roughly a month, and it's got about a month by itself in theater. So I really like the placement of it right now. And it sounds genuinely fun for kids and adults, which is usually a good prescription. I'm hoping between the two of those movies to get over $400 million between the two. And I think that's attainable. And if I do that, I've had a successful first draft.
Well, I think if you get out of those, the price you got it at, yeah, absolutely. That's a successful first draft. And the other thing I wanted to ask you is you drafted 12 movies. In our league, you can draft as few as you want. You don't have to draft any. There's no minimum, but there's a maximum. Once you get 25 movies in your studio, you're maxed out. You can't draft anymore. You've only got 13 slots left in the final two drafts. Are you okay with that?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm probably going to buy one movie this summer, and that's it. So, and then I'm saving up for the fall, basically, to throw darts at the Oscar board. And, I'm not going to be a big spender come this summer, but there's a couple movies that I'll be looking at from a value standpoint to just try to keep the box office going. And then I'm going to try to go. I've had some Oscar success, much like Seuss, and much through luck at unsustainable rates, granted. So I'm going to try to throw that dart again probably this coming winter and see what happens.
Yeah, and meanwhile, in this league, like I said, you get about $11 million in box office totals, $1 billion in Oscar bonuses, so $12 billion total to play around with. The movies on this slate obviously aren't going to get any Oscar money, and box office-wise, they're projected to total, all the movies that we drafted are going to end up with about $2.4 billion. That's about what movies in the first 4 months combined to make. So that's about 20% of the money available in the league. Using that as a strategy, I would anticipate 20% of our league's money to be spent. We have 13 members that have $300 a piece to play with. So in short, I would expect about $780 of all the money in the league to be spent in this draft. Together, the members of the league combined to spend $777. So in other words, almost exactly the amount of money that should have been spent in this draft was. So people in this league seem to have spent the right amount of money on most of the movies. And I noticed that nothing was really going for great value, I didn't think. Did you guys think that there was value to be had out there today? Sunday in the first draft? Or am I wrong in thinking that there was no real value to be had?
Well, I think there were a few, but I mean, a lot of, I felt there were a lot of movies that I felt were probably $5 to $10 movies that went for like $20 to $25. And I think that was, I felt like there were more mistakes than there were values. There were very few movies where I was like, maybe I should have got another buck on that. And it was, that just didn't happen very often. I felt like most things were skewing $4 to $5, and in some cases $10 more than what I thought they were valued. They should have been valued at. And then early in the draft, when people were trying to feel it out, there may have been a few buys in there. The way that the first draft usually goes is there are a lot of movies that you're not 100% sure on. I mean, I'm not 100% sure on what I bought. It's just there's a warp or two on pretty much everything that you roll out there. And you're speculating a lot. So that's why it was unorthodox for me to spend the most on a movie, because that's not like me. But it was also because I felt like if I didn't do that, I probably wasn't going to buy much of anything in the draft entirely, and I didn't want to do that either. So
I'll tell you guys what I thought was the worst. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I thought and through, as I just looked through, It was the movies that typically, if you were to look at our past drafts, it was the movies that would have gone for $10 in the past. I mean, where was it? What's the one? The Benghazi movie is the one that really jumps out at me that ended up going for 13 hours to Scott. That's a movie that would have been 10 to 15 last year. So I don't know what to make of that. I actually will differ from both of you guys, I think. I think there were a lot of $1 movies that got bought that are going to return big-time plus value.
It's possible. I think there's a couple maybe. Seuss, you bought one, The Choice, which I think is interesting. You get that actually for two. I think that's pretty interesting. I'll tell you the five that I thought went for too much. One obviously being Benghazi. The Little Prince went for $13. Race went for $16. Those two movies are projected on HSX to make under $20. And they both went for teens. And then there's two that are interesting here. One, our friend Gary bought Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. Which is an interesting concept. It's almost like the Abe Lincoln versus, who did he fight? Abraham Lincoln. Did he fight zombies or who did he fight?
He was a vampire hunter.
Okay, Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. Yeah, so almost something like that, almost in that sort of genre. It comes out in February 5th. Gary spent $18 on that. It's got a HSX price of $22 million, or $22. So, I mean, is there any hope for Gary in that movie?
I actually think there is. It's actually the first book that came out in that series, and I actually. When I'm getting two thumbs up from my wife sitting next to me right now, it's very, very good, very, very funny, and the previews are ridiculously good.
So I
want to
consider going
19 on it.
You said the first book
that
in the series.
Does that mean
that it's actually in that same series as Abe Lincoln, Vampire Hunter?
Yes.
I did not know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So that's actually interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was. Like I said, the previews make it look infinitely better than Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. So, it's not hard. Granted, is it going to land a punch? I don't know. It's interesting counter programming for Valentine's Day. I would say that.
Yeah. It does come out February 5th, so the weekend before Valentine's Day. Sure. And the worst value movie. That I had based on, and I just base this on HSX price. I don't base it on any sort of analysis or personal influence. But I know it's a movie that you like a whole lot, Paul, so maybe Brandon will get some value out of it. He spent $21 on The Witch. Comes out February 22nd. It's got a HSX price of $12. And whenever the amount of money you spend on a movie is almost double the millions that it's projected to make on HSX, that's not good. That's not good. But so it's got a negative $16 value according to my valuation system. Any thoughts on this movie? Why does it look so good to you, Paul? And obviously you think it's going to go higher than 12?
Yeah, it's one of the only original horror movies coming out in this entire calendar year, for one. For two, it's out of A26 Studios. They are hitting home run after home run in the last couple of years. They had... A26 Studios. It's the studio that did the David Foster Wallace movie last year with Jason Segel what's his name? The little nerdy guy from the Facebook movie that played Mark Zuckerberg, whose name I'm totally blanking on.
Oh, yeah. I'm blanking on it too, but yeah, we got you.
Yeah. It's The Last Days of the Tour, or whatever that was, as it was called. They had a couple great movies come out last year that were received very, very well. It's a studio that's gaining a bit of a cult following, and I think given the originality of this particular horror movie, the preview that I saw was a real short preview. It made it look
like Jesse Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jesse Eisenberg.
Go.
Good Lord. That was going to bug me all night long. But yeah, it's a.
I know that studio name is A24, not A26.
A24. I thought it was A26, but what do I know?
But yeah, I think you're right on that. Seuss, do you know anything about this movie, The Witch? What do we think about this here?
I thought there were quite a few movies. Like, my philosophy on the way that I was trying to do this was. I was trying to cobble together one big piece, which I got, and then a series of little pieces in this draft for very little money that maybe I could cobble together $100 million worth of value. The reason that it didn't work for me was every one of those movies that I thought was not projected for very much money, like a $2 to $5 range where it would have been an acceptable purchase, every one of those movies went for $10. Hence defeating the purpose of what I was trying to do. So that movie falls into that group. I'm not buying it as a huge moneymaker. I think if you spend $20 on a movie, you have to be completely confident at minimum you're going to get $60 million. That's just my personal philosophy. And yeah, I would be very surprised. Yeah. I would be very surprised if that movie made $60 million. I would say, yeah, very surprised.
Yeah,
I agree. I do tend to agree with that.
Yeah, we have, like I said, it takes about $1.2 billion to win the league when there's this many people in. You've got $300. Using that rule of thumb, any dollar you spend hopefully will net you $4 million in box office return. So using that, it really, if you spend $20 million, you've got to get $80. Now, you can make up for that by getting value in the dollar movies that will make more than four, but you can't make a whole lot of hay doing that. So you do need to get some sort of value return on those $20 movies. And, you know, we will see what happens. Meanwhile, I didn't buy anything. I bought Keanu for $3. I think that was my big explosion of money there. I think, and then I bought a couple dollar movies, Before I Wake and some other piece of garbage. I don't know.
Yeah, you bought the Masked Saint, which I actually didn't think was going to get bought.
What's that?
You bought the Masked Saint, which I actually didn't think was going to get bought there for a minute.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to check the theater count on that. It's listed as wide release, but there's different levels of wide releases. You've got saturated and super saturated. If it's only going to get sent to, like, you know, 700 theaters, there's no reason for me to keep it, and I'll just drop it, and then I'll pick something up later on in the year if I can. But if it's going to get sent to a couple thousand studios, then, you know, by even if it's Victor what was the movie they had? Victor, what's that? Victor. Oh yeah, Victor Frankenstein.
Victor Frankenstein.
Even if it's Victor Frankenstein bad, it's still worth having for a buck. So I'll see what the theater count is on it. And I think Victor Frankenstein, if I'm not mistaken, the worst opening for a super saturated release, I think, in history. I want to say something. It's on the list. It was very bad, but it still made like $5 million because it went to so many theaters.
No, that was Jim and the Holograms.
Okay, that one was bad too.
That was the worst one, and then second was We Are Your Friends, which were both released within like 3 weeks of one another.
Yep.
I don't know why I know these strange facts, but I do, and I know that to be the case. But I wanted to ask you, Rob. You're notorious for being the garbage barge driver of the movie league, driving down the river and scavenging whatever trash you're going to pick up. I mean, is your performance on Sunday night going to mean that the garbage barge has to drive faster? I'm just really interested in how you're going to attack this moving forward, because you're notorious for being the guy who just picks up all the wasteland movies that nobody wants, and one or two of them hits, and then all of a sudden you're in this darn thing. I mean, this is a complete 180 for you as well, I think, personally.
Yeah, typically, you know, I'll spend between 75 and 80 on one or two movies, and then at the end of the draft and everybody's sort of given up, I'll rifle through the $20 to $25 million projected movies and grab five or six of them for a couple dollars a piece, and I'm in business. That did not work out in this draft, so I end up with nothing. I don't know what's going to happen. I think in the summer I'm going to have to be more aggressive with if I see something going for at value, buying it. I tried to get plus value on Sunday instead of trying to get, you know, just regular value. And it last year didn't work out because I got left with like $60 in the draft, and I'm spending like $30 a piece on, I think, Youth,
buddy.
and Stuff Forget and some other. It was not a good time for me. So I can't let that happen again. I'll have to be more aggressive. I'll say I miss being the scavenger. I miss the fact that everybody in the league sort of catching up to the fact that you got to buy these $25 million movies. You can't just ignore them. It saddens me a little bit that I can't just exploit that. It's getting harder to win this league than it was when we first started.
Well, I was a little disappointed that, I mean, because I was actually planning to go rummaging around in that trash bin too, and I thought it would work, and like I said, it just didn't. I mean, if I wanted a $20 to $25 million movie, I was going to have to pay $10 for it, and I had no interest in doing that because I've never had to do that before. So it required a little bit of a script shift for me too, and I basically gave up. I mean, I was just like, I this isn't going to happen, so... that's why I left earlier than I think I ever have before. And I'm glad I did. I'm glad to see that somebody picked up that wretched piece of garbage known as Knight of Cups, because that's a piece of junk. All right, that's a steaming pile of garbage. And I can't express that any more than I possibly could. It is just a wreckage dump on top of a tire fire on top of an exploded sewer plant. That's what that movie is. And if you're wondering... You're wondering, I've seen it. I know this. This is not me talking about a trailer or anything else. I've seen it. It's a hot piece of shit.
Explain yourself.
So there's a story here. There's a story here, and I think I can actually explain it. Seuss and I went on a long movie tour a few years back and caught a whole bunch of movies. And we ended the day with Terrence Malick's Tree of Life. And... You know, we sat there through the whole thing, the dinosaur scene that lasted 45 minutes, and we sat there and digested this whole, like, 3.5-hour movie or a lifetime or ever hell long it was, and walked out of a dead quiet theater with a bunch of artsy-fartsy people kind of murmuring to themselves in appreciation of what we'd just seen. And Seuss and I were dead quiet, walked all the way out of the theater, got out in the street, and we're walking down the street in dead silence, and we basically both finally just stopped and simultaneously looked at each other and said, "What the fuck was that?" And then
okay.
Tree of Life got all these stupid-ass nominations in the Oscars that year, so I saw another Terrence Malick movie, and I thought to myself, well, there's no conceivable way it's as bad as Tree of Life was, and Tree of Life even got nominations, so I figured I'd throw a $1 dart at it. And
I mean,
okay.
if they throw nominations at this movie, I'm launching a rocket into the Academy headquarters, like, immediately, because I've questioned what they've done a lot in the past. This would be a travesty unlike any other travesty. And I'm not overstating it. This is terrible. I mean, I would rather watch a test pattern on the screen for 2 hours than that movie again. Freaking terrible.
I have to hate watch this movie. I'm kind of curious now to find out what the hate is about.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
Can we get you blurbed on the movie poster for that? Because I feel like I just
want to go up to Christian Bale and go, dude, did you know anything that you were doing, or was somebody giving you like a card before you went? Just go say this. It's not going to make sense to you, but just go say this. Because it doesn't make sense to anybody. It's just, it's moronic. I mean,
all right.
I almost messaged former Movie League participant Sean Loftus, who just got done making a movie of his own, and imploring him to, when he gets famous making movies, that he doesn't morph into a movie director that makes movies that forget one vital component to making a good movie, an actual story. Because this last one, I mean, it literally is like you're playing one of those refrigerator magnet games where, like, you take random words and string them together in some form of what some crazy people might call some sort of poetry, but really it's just gibberish nonsense. And that's what this movie is the entire damn time.
Go see Knight of Cups, everybody.
I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
I actually have a couple questions for the both of you.
Sure.
First off, you know, based on past history, which one of the movies that I drafted is going to get pushed to 2017?
It sounds like Knight of Cups.
See.
I don't know.
I hope the print of Knight of Cups gets launched into space. So,
wait, what'd you say?
I hope the print of Knight of Cups gets launched into space. That's what I'm hoping for.
Let's see. I'm looking at your list here.
My initial thought.
You know, I listened to the podcast the other day. Can I pose a question about something that's
sure.
on this slate that you guys talked about? Now,
sure.
We talk about, like, how there's buzz from Comic-Con and Twitter and all these other places about how great a movie is supposed to be. When's the last time that actually netted extraordinarily positive results? Like, off-the-charts results?
You know, that's a good question.
Because we talk about this a lot, and all I can think about is movies in the past that, oh boy, let's everybody get excited. We just saw a minute and a half of Watchmen. It looks great.
Well, I'm thinking Avengers. I'm thinking the first Avengers.
But see, wouldn't it have Avengers done that on its own?
No, no, because it was projected for almost half that going in. Remember,
I don't think you can credit fanboys for that.
I'll say this: I think if it's a summer movie and it gets a lot of hot buzz, that's better. The two that jump out at me as having gotten a ton of viral buzz and then just crap the bed are, we talked about in the last podcast, Snakes on a Plane, and the one before that, Cloverfield, which I believe was in the very first yearly edition of the Movie League back in 07 or 08. No, 08 would have been the first year of the Movie League. So
the other one that I'd throw into that mix too, as far as just not meeting the buzz that came before it, was Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
Everybody was all over that. Ooh, boy, yeah. And that didn't do anything.
I'll have to double-check there, but I believe the release date on all three of those movies was January, February, March. I think they were all three early in the year. So it could be that the studios knew that these were pieces of garbage and just tried to get some sort of buzz on them to squeeze any sort of blood out of the turnip. But, I don't know. I think you'd rather have the traffic and the Twitter mentions than not have them, right?
I think I actually go the opposite way. That scares me now. When I hear it, I'm scared of it.
Well, I think it scares you in the sense that, you know, it might drive up the price that you see on, like, the speculation, you know, HSX might bump up its price, Box Office Gurus
that's
bump
fine,
up its price.
But I think it's going to be harder. It's going to be harder for me to get it where I think it's at a value, and that's part of my fear. Because if that's happening, but I also am like, I'm skeptical of the number. I'm just skeptical of it based on past track record. I mean, I'm not trying to knock on fanboyism as it is, because while I'm not a full-fledged one, I'm probably one myself. So it's just something that I've noticed over time, is that it seems like whenever I read, you know, Entertainment Weekly's issue about Comic-Con, or I'm reading something about that, it always seems like the movies that they're talking up that got the big buzz rarely to ever seem to deliver in you know, piles of money.
Yeah,
is, I'm assuming at this point.
With it. I'm guessing if you're talking about Deadpool.
Yeah, that's right. I thought he was going to.
Yeah, it's got a couple red flags. One, it's R-rated, and two, it's coming out at this time of the year. So it's got some red flags, but, you know, I mean, superhero movies that we didn't expect have done well. We'll see.
I mean, who thought Thor was going to make any money? And it made $150 million, for God's sake, you know?
Well, it made more than that, didn't it?
No, I think it was $150, $160.
But so I mean, and that movie came out, I believe, in the first part of the year as well. I'm looking it up right now. Thor came out in May of 2011, and it made $181 million.
81. Yeah. I don't think Thor had that type of buzz either. I'm just saying that there's a lot of the movie that I go back to, like, I think we remember the negative ones. Like, you know, you remember a movie like Snakes on a Plane being super hyped up on Twitter and then nobody going and seeing it. More than you remember people talking about how good a movie was going to be and then, oh, everybody went and saw it. Because, I mean, well, okay, like, everybody was pretty hyped up about Star Wars, you know. And I don't think people were projecting it to have a possibility of making $1 billion box office domestically.
Well,
you know,
I think it better might be American Sniper. They were hyped on American Sniper, and then that got a lot of traffic. So I get Seuss's point though. Sometimes this interest gets fluffed up, and it's just it's fluffed up on a pile of garbage, and then you know. So I mean, I'm interested to see what happens with Deadpool. I think it go either way. I don't know if it's going to get much more than the value that you paid for it, but it could maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Now, anyway, we're getting ready to log off here. We've got about 15 seconds before that it kicks us off the air. I thank our co-hosts for joining us, Paul Schmidt and Steve Soucy. And this is your host, Rob Laird, and we are the Movie Boobs.
Deuces.